WNST, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got the big man here. He's in retirement. We're down here at McFall's. We're at the Oyster and Reel. I just had the most beautiful shrimp, bang bang shrimp, with pineapple salsa, Petey. And it was a pineapple salsa that was reminiscent of my time in Maui 2 weeks ago. But so I disappear, and I had Anthony over at Costas last month on a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented, of course, by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We were giving these Maryland Lottery scratch-offs away here in Middle River today. Also our friends at Window Nation. I'm not going to make Petey wear the hat, but I'm going to wear the hat.
No.
I'm going to wear the hat. It's all good. 866-90-NATION. Buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. I hope you've got 5 years of severance here.
Yeah.
But Anthony came out and he said, "Hey, we're doing a thing for Petey." And I was so jet lagged last weekend. I wanted to come out to UMBC, support you. It was an all day thing. All the alums were out there.
Right.
I figured I had to come out there to get my alum shirt if I was going to get it updated. I didn't wear it today.
If you got it yet.
No, but Anthony's working on it. How was your retirement? I mean, you worked a lifetime. I mean, it must have been something for you.
It was fantastic. Hats off to all the people at UMBC. It was probably one of the nicest things that they could have done. It was packed. They did a video with guys, former players, talking about me and their experience there, and did some interviews with me, and it was just everything about it was first class, and the turnout was phenomenal.
Well, I mean, no offense. You say everything was first class. It was your operation for how many years?
32.
I was going to say 29, but that was so 3 years ago. I mean, yeah. I guess I've had you at 32 years. You've had how many players?
Oh, it's
500?
Oh, easily. It's not counting Essex. Yeah, but just at UMBC, yeah.
Right. And then they have 500 wives or friends or brothers or mothers or fathers or children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People love you. And I said to my wife, I'm like, Pete's not going to miss me. And my wife was mad at me. She's like, you should scrape yourself up and just... And I said, I'm just... There's going to be 1,000 people there.
No, you know it really was. It was so many people there that I didn't get a chance to even talk to.
I knew
a lot
that.
Of people.
I said it's going to be like a wedding, but worse. Pete's going to be appreciative that I'm there. I said, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fire off a note to Pete and tell him I love him. I did this 6:53. I sent you a note. Love you, Pete. Couldn't be there tonight, but my spirit and soul are black and gold. I don't say that to many people.
There
just
you
and the Towson guys, never to Mike Tomlin. Enjoy, celebrate, connect soon. And then 6 days later, 5 days later.
We're back.
We're
back
in Middle together. River. By the way, you walked into this place and you're like, where am I?
Yeah.
Right? This
beautiful.
Place is beautiful, right?
It's beautiful.
Now, you're familiar with the McFall's, the Iron Horse Tavern.
Yeah,
that's right by the radio station, sort of the... It's the neighborhood tavern for my radio station up in Lock Raven. Everybody's familiar with that. If you haven't been down here to Middle River, they might call it Essex, but I'm not sure. Is this Essex or Middle River to you?
I would have said it was Essex, but I read it's Middle River. So
if you
I'm
go past
go
Back River, if you get down Back River Neck Road, past Pizza John's, past the Royal Farms, and you just keep going and going and going and going and going, and you get to Rocky Point. Rocky Point's Essex, or is it Middle River? You're Highland Town. What's the difference between Highland Town and Canton? Where does Highland Town end and Canton begin?
Eastern Avenue.
No. So hold on. The Enoch Pratt Library's in Canton? Yeah. I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, it depends now with this new generation. They think Patterson Park's Canton. I mean, there's
what?
No way. Yeah.
Patterson Park's Highland. Dude, don't give him that.
No, I didn't give
don't
him anything.
Don't give him that.
I don't give him anything.
Don't give him that.
I take all the way up
it's
as
like
far
these
as
people
I go.
From Essex would come over and say East Point Mall. No.
Everything,
East Point Mall's on the Dundalk side, not the Essex side.
Everything's changing now, Nasty. You know that. So what was once our territory is now changed. So clearly, we can say Essex Middle River. That's how.
All right. They'll both claim it. By the way, the Orioles are up 8-1. So you come in here and you're so. I've known you forever, and I knew when I scheduled you in the middle of an Orioles game that's going to happen. Did you everybody see that? He just took his eyes off of me.
Well, I'm a big Orioles fan.
Game. The game's
now we're
back
fine.
Here.
We're up 8-1. Rodriguez.
You're ready to focus on your career
and your career.
This is the cameras over here.
This is where I want to be. I already know we got 8-1.
His heart's in Kansas City.
We got a great bullpen. We're
his
fine.
Heart's out by the George Brett statue.
We're fine.
We're going to have Glenn on from McFall's, and we're going to talk about Jimmy Tyler, Ernie Tyler was his grandfather.
Oh, really?
So everything, I mean, yeah, I say Ernie Tyler to you. Everybody knows who Ernie Tyler was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Ernie Tyler, all of the memorabilia is in the back room here. If you've been to McFall's at Lock Raven, it's like that too. But you come in here, Orioles on the mind, Highland Town guy, Catonsville, living up Perry Hall, dragging you down here to wherever we are, Essex, whatever it is. What are you doing with your dad? Like, what? After 32 years, how do you get out of bed? Because you don't golf or anything,
right?
No,
I don't golf. And it's totally different right now. I mean, it's a whole different scenario from what I've been used to. I go back to UMBC a lot. They probably see me too much.
You still have an office over there, or did you
give
that up?
I just gave my office to Anthony. They're talking about giving me an office. They want to give me an office. They want me to come back and help with just some, you know, any kind of projects that the athletic director, Brian Berrio, he has some projects on his mind.
Well, you did the show with him over at the Beaumont.
Yeah. So I still have a feel. My son still works there. I'm still obviously tight with Anthony. So I still have a strong feeling for it. So it's hard to just walk away. It wasn't the easiest decision to make. It's not any reason to make it. It wasn't anything about my health, or it was just, I just felt like it was the right time and the right place. So I made the decision. But right now,
you regretting it?
I don't, it mix at times. Yeah. At times. Yeah. Because I enjoyed, I mean, that's my passion has always been to be coaching a team, to be training a team. I miss the players. I miss the locker room. I miss the competition.
I bet you never thought about it.
No.
I mean, you've never thought about what's going to happen 10 weeks after I retire.
Oh, no. I never dreamed of what's going to happen 10 weeks.
That's all you've ever wanted to do, man.
Since I was young. I mean, I was coaching and playing. I was coaching at a real young age. I was taking guys to Pompeii. I was taking them to the national tournament when I was like 19 and they were 15, literally. And everybody else is going down to the beach. All the guys are hanging out that I played with in college. And I'm taking a youth team, me and a couple parents, and we're traveling down to Virginia. So I've been coaching my whole life, and it's my passion. It's been my life. But there are also, I mean, times are changing, as we both know, and there's certain things that continue to happen just in general. And I just got, like, tired of it, just tired of dealing with people who, you know, have their own thoughts and process. That's it.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, other than get a side office and come over there, right?
I still have my camps. I've been, obviously, a lot of people contact me about training their teams. I haven't given up on soccer. I haven't, you know, I'm still, like I said, healthy enough and still involved and excited.
But you're not going to be a candidate for the Maryland job, right? I mean,
I'm not coming back and doing that. I'm not coming back and doing that. And, you know, as different projects come up or different ideas, I sit down and now I have the luxury of listening to it and, I still, like you said, I still have the passion for it, and I'm not going away. I'm not moving out of Baltimore. So we'll see what happens. But right now, it's nice to just have that little break and looking forward to having some summertime doing the camps. And then I think the hardest part is going to be in the fall when we all typically come back for the fall and the season because it'll be the first fall since I started it at Calvert Hall. As a player that I have, I'll have off in the fall. Where I, typically from high school all the way to now, I've never had a fall off.
Well, that's why I want to get you out here nice and early before you got real bored.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
I'd probably be out here fishing or something.
I figure my contribution to all this on behalf of Anthony and Brian, everybody over there, it's just I got him out for a day.
Yeah. I went over there today and they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I got to go talk to Nasty." They all said, "All right."
All right. We'll lose Pete for a day down to Essex or Middle River, wherever he's going.
All right, let's get him over there.
For you with this decision, and be honest with me, because I had Wes Moore, Governor Moore, on, and I had him over at Costas about 6 months ago, and he had done my show right before the plague at Christmas time. So we're talking December 19, and never led on that he had any political thoughts about running for anything, right? I had you on about a year ago. Were you in the mind frame of – you didn't feel that way to me. When I was with you at the Beaumont, it didn't feel to me like you were hiding that this was going to be your last hurrah, or even you knew it was your last hurrah on Halloween.
No, I didn't have – I mean, you know, people always ask you, hey, how many more years you have?
Do they ask you that?
Yeah, well, you know –
they don't ask me that.
That's just a typical because I've done it so long and some
of these
people –
I've been 31 years on the radio. Nobody's asking me when I'm retiring.
Yeah, that's true. But
Chad Steele wants me to retire, but Not going to happen.
But yeah. Clearly people ask you that, and it's not. It's, you know, just being polite. How many more years you got? How you doing? And, you know, I didn't think about retiring. Every time I thought about it, give me another 2 years.
I don't think I asked you last year on the air. I mean,
no
I don't
one's
think,
asked me.
I
no.
think if you,
I'm just talking
young.
About people that really, you know, I don't think really know much about me, just in general. And they'll just say, "Hey, how long have you been coaching? How long are you going to do it? How many more years are you going to do it?" Then all of a sudden, you know, the season came. We had a good season. We had a really good group of guys. We got a great group returning. I mean, it's a championship caliber team. So I think 99 out of 100 people wouldn't think about leaving that particular group because they're going to be really good. And it just kept hitting, coming back to me that as much as I love that group, you know, that I'm thinking about giving it up. What's the right time? I definitely didn't want to do it under bad conditions. I never wanted to, you know, be forced to leave. He actually offered me another new contract, which I said, you know, we'll talk about it. And after I talked to the AD and I talked to my wife, and it just really got down to the point where I was sitting there thinking, you know, what should I do here? Like,
there's going to be an exit. It's going to have to, on your terms, right?
Yeah, it's
going to
be. And okay. I really want to be one of the few people, as long as I've been to UMBC, I've never seen anyone leave, maybe the exception of one or two. I'm talking about the coaches on their terms. They just leave and, you know, when they came back,
your contract's done. You get fired or released.
It was a good feeling.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
You're not returning.
I mean, gosh, so, I could just name through the basketball coaches. Yeah. Some of them now. Ryan left to take another job.
Yeah, no, Ryan left. Yeah, but no one really just was there, stayed. You know, had a great career and just left with nothing. No real issues.
Well, you're that guy.
Yeah,
but you were that guy.
But I also wanted to be in a position where when I did turn it over, that I didn't want to leave and all of a sudden, like, if I would have left next year, which is the ideal year to leave, right? Your whole group's leaving. Now I'm turning over to a guy that's been there with me for 20-some years.
And giving him no chance to be successful.
Right. My son's there. And I kept thinking, I don't want to be that guy. Because it would have been so easy to just say, oh, I'm coming back for one more year, advertise it, have the whole
would be all wound up over there. Right?
Like even the AD said something like, you know, if you go and you have a retirement tour, I said, I don't want the retirement tour. I don't want all that. It's not me. And I didn't.
I'm
want
lucky to get you over here to talk about you today.
And I didn't.
He never talk about himself.
And I really didn't want to do all that. So literally, I just said, you know, I kept talking to my wife about it and talking to my kids and my son. I think definitely wanted me to come back. Obviously, as a coach and. We're all there. Everyone was excited about this team coming back, and I finally just sat down with the AD and said, "You know, I think this is what I'm going to do." And now, a couple of weeks later, you sit there at times and you go, "What the heck did I do?"
Well, I mean, my first thought was, "What are you going?" That the strategy would be, "What are you going to do?" Maybe you didn't want to know what you're going to do,
and I didn't.
Maybe it's kind of fun to like say.
Yeah,
all right, bills are paid. I've worked hard.
What
you know?
Am I going to do tomorrow? Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is.
Well, I'm glad you're available. Pete Carinci, my lifer pal. Yeah. Weird to say former head coach. I'm a kid. If I call you emeritus, that's not going to anger Anthony, I don't think.
No, Anthony mentioned that word today.
Emeritus. That's it. UMBC.
I got to look it up, but yeah, Anthony said
that means
emeritus.
You used to do it. You did it well. You did it for a long time. It just means you're old.
Yeah.
Well, I think it means you're old.
Then I don't like that word.
I don't want to be emeritus ever.
No, I'm not emeritus.
We're at McFall's Oyster and Reel. I keep wanting to say Iron Horse Tavern because I've been saying that for 10 years. We have a long history of McFall's. We did the shows up at their original location 10 years ago now. We had Justin Tucker and Dennis Pitta and Joe Flacco. It was the year they won the Super Bowl. You got Oriole fever here. I would think that for you, this gives you a little more free time. You probably go to some more ball games
and enjoy
the games.
I'll do more things now than I've had the chance to do before. And you know, I'm still like last week. Someone asked me to come out and train their team when I trained it, and it was fun to do. And I got that little itch back. So
I figured they'd send you to Italy for a couple of weeks and let you go eat. Are they gonna do that?
But no, I would love that.
I know you would.
I love the Orioles and I love all
Why
the
aren't
local
you going
teams.
To Italy? Huh? What's keeping you from Italy?
My wife wants to go now.
Well, let's
She's
go.
She's ready to go right
let's
now.
Let's go.
Like,
let's do it.
When she listens
Where
to this.
Where are you taking her? Amalfi? Milan? Where are you taking her?
And I got friends that have places over there that want.
Leaning Tower to Pizza? The whole thing.
I mean, they want me to go. So it's.
I've brought that up. Yeah, I knew you're heading there.
Oh, Italy's on the list, on the bucket list. Well, I just not a long.
At least you got a good deli.
Not a
in
long
Canton.
Flyer.
You will just agree that the deli moved from Highland down to Canton. You will
oh,
agree
yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
Full on. Okay, because I know that's family for you over there too.
I'm good with that.
All right. Well, Pete and I are arguing whether we're in Essex or Middle River. We're going to argue the difference between Dundalk and Essex, and then we're going to argue whether Highlandtown and Canton really end at. Because I was at Chaucer last night. I had a meal at Chaucer.
Well, you still doing that crab cake tour?
This is a crab cake tour. Where do you think you are?
All right. I didn't know.
Why
I
do you think
know.
I brought you to the Oyster and Reel?
All right.
You're too early for the crab cake. I'm not having a crab cake till 4 o'clock.
I'm a big crab cake guy, but I know I follow your crab cake tour. That's why I just want to make sure that this was a crab cake
tour. Well, I was at Captain Larry's last week on Thursday, wore me out. Then on Friday, I went down to Fadley's. We had a morning crab cake there. Today, I'm here. We're at State Fair in Catonsville.
Catonsville, yeah.
Next Friday, maybe I get Brian to come by. I don't know, you know.
You've been up in Perry Hall, right? You've been everywhere.
I've been to Perry Hall. We've been to Conrad's in Perry Hall. We were in Pappas in Bel Air. I'm going to Falston. I know you've recruited in Falston.
Yeah.
We're going to the local on the 23rd. The local. So bar. There you go. So yeah. I saw. Man, everybody came out for you. I mean, the Kojals, even the guys that went to Towson, the Stitzes and these people. Everybody, you touched everybody. Yeah. What was the best part of Saturday night for you? Did you have to give a speech?
Yeah, and it was kind of weird because as much as they kept telling me, look, there's going to be my first of all, my wife goes, look, if you get in to start thanking people, you'll be there all night. Thank. And I asked them to put something up on the wall to thank all the people, and they didn't. So I get there, we watch the video, watch the film. It's very, very emotional. And all of a sudden, Brian gets up and he talks a little bit. Now I'm told to just go up for like at the end and just say thank you.
Right, you can't do that.
30 seconds. So Anthony goes up, and now he wings it, and he's thanking me.
Giving the best man speech.
And he's giving the best man speech. Mm-hmm. And Anthony did well, and did real well. And so now they hand me the mic, and I'm thinking 30 seconds. You got to be kidding me. I can't. So now I start winging it, and I'm thanking people. And the best part was it was very emotional, and a lot of my friends and family. I mean,
because you're looking at him.
And looking right at him in a
theater.
Dude,
I gave a Hall of Fame speech at Dundalk, and I choked.
Yeah.
At one time in my life, I'm going to have a. That was horrible.
So
my speech was horrible.
You get choked up.
I wasn't prepared. I was emotional. It was a disaster. My mother had just died. It was a disaster.
You hit it on the head. So I don't have any notes. And so the best part of it was there was a lot of people, and a lot of non-UMBC people, friends, personal friends, and people, you know, guys like Sonny Askew were there, longtime players. And
UB guys, one of my
alums. The BU guys were there. And so it was a lot of Dale Roth, you know, one of the best athletes to ever come out of Dundalk. Only All-American in two different sports, lacrosse and soccer, ever. So that's a big thing. But a lot of those guys were there. And so it was very emotional. And you go up there and you thank them. And then you know you're going to miss somebody, you know, because there's the place.
Well, I would
packed.
Just say, who did I miss? Raise your hand. Yeah, Louie, so I missed you. John, I missed you.
I should have, but I didn't. Then I come to find out that yesterday, I forgot.
Your wife.
Dr. Charles Brown.
Oh, did you really?
My first athletic director. And I had thanked him a couple times. I thanked him personally. And so I tried to call him yesterday and just thank him because it just literally, and I couldn't see him there. Like, you know, you're starting to see people in there and you go, oh, I like to thank. And it was just, my mind was just racing. But then I find out I didn't get Dr. Brown. So if he's listening to this, once again, Dr. Brown.
He loves you.
I thank you. I've thanked him several other times, but it was just not the right place.
Well,
right
I'm
time.
Glad you're here thanking me. And you know, all
you were
this.
Part, you were, you, I think the funny thing is I'm probably one of the few guys in this town that had really good relationships with the press. And you guys always did a good job for us at UMBC or whether it was at Essex, you, the guys from the paper, across the board. And you obviously have always been a big soccer fan. So it was funny and it was great to always talk to you. Not that we're going to stop, but we'd be talking about the World Cup. We talk about any event coming from into Baltimore. And I really do appreciate what you've done and always done. Even going back to the old station where I used to ride over there and talk about the Bays when I was coaching them.
Absolutely.
Essex going to the Nationals. I mean, there's been so many good times. So that's
Thank
why
you.
I've always felt that you've done a lot for Baltimore soccer. Maybe haven't gotten the credit that you deserve. But clearly, it's been good because for me, we haven't really had anybody in my time in Baltimore, my relationship with the guys from the press that really was anti or wouldn't cover us or just gave us a raw deal. But you were always on the forefront of supporting Baltimore soccer in general, and then supporting me and the teams that I was working with, and getting behind us. And that was always. I don't want you to get emotional.
No, I just let me say this about it, because I mean I don't have any prepared speech on that. I just say 31 years into this for. The best
same time,
part.
You said you've been in it how many years?
31. December 13th of 91 is when Kenny Albert corralled me onto the radio.
And so, I was just coming off the Bays. And you
when did you take
that
job?
90.
You took the UMBC job in 90. Okay.
Yeah. And the Bays, it just ended.
Well, I covered you down on that same field you play on with the Maryland Bays, too. And there was, I'm trying to think of Chris Reef, Rob Ryerson.
Steve Powers. All those guys. I mean, you're talking about Steve
Philip
Powers.
Philip Jow,
Gene Harbor.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Sloan,
absolutely.
Yeah,
so in that era, I would just say I've known you 35, maybe more years, really going back to Essex, but you always were appreciative that anybody would care about soccer.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a level of arrogance that the Orioles had from the minute I met you, which was all you would always, hey, we're not the Orioles. We talk to you.
Yeah.
And you've been saying that for 30 years. I've never been a lacrosse guy, but I have lacrosse people that have thanked me for at least giving oxygen to lacrosse, but it's never been my passion. I never played soccer, so it wasn't my passion in that way. But I love the blast. I love the World Cup. I love that Dundalk and Highlandtown liked it, that it was it was an ethnic sport.
That was a sport there.
You know what I mean? And then I would travel the world, go to Jamaica, and see that it was a poor man's sport.
Yeah.
You know, and then I started to really research the beautiful game and the World Cup and Maradona and like all that stuff that happened. The people like you that were on a fringe sport, just trying to make a living. You're not trying to get Lamar Jackson's contract.
Right.
You're trying to have an honest living, being an honest coach, in some sort of Ted Lasso kind of way, right? That you're sort of the Ted Lasso of Baltimore. But you were always appreciative. And I think that didn't always happen at low-level colleges, where some coaches thought, where you been when you show up? Why aren't you here all the time when you show up? And then there's other people, and hockey was this way. I'll give you soccer and hockey. Every time Gene Ubriaco sees me, I would say to him, why were you nice to me when I was a 15-year-old kid with a notebook about the size of my lottery tickets here? I mean, my notebook, and I'm this big. I'm a little Ovaltine, right? Didn't have long hair then. But I had my notebook, and Gene would look at me. He'd pinch my cheeks. He'd say, you care, kid. You love my game.
There you go.
You love my game. My game's hockey. I come from the Sioux. Yeah. That's a pretty good Gene, by the way.
That was pretty good.
Good Paisan, too. But Gene would always say to me, you love my game. And Kenny Cooper, to this day, will pick up the phone, and he would always say, you love soccer, you love Baltimore. Right. You love Baltimore, you love soccer, you're my friend. Simple. And there was a lack of arrogance that Kenny had. And you at one point were thinking about that job and that life.
Yeah.
And that was
offered that job.
Right, exactly. And you know what Kenny built here.
Yeah.
And you did that concurrently. You were already a champion at UB and trying to do your own thing with the Bays and a smaller level thing. And the Blasts were a big thing here. And that opened doors for you, that a kid in Highlandtown that you're trying to recruit to play soccer. Soccer was cool in the 80s and 90s. In a way, it wasn't in the 70s when you were trying to do it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Highlandtown, Baltimore's always been, that's probably a lot of kids today don't understand how big soccer was for years.
We had Armstrong on a national team.
Yeah.
We had great players here. Oakland Mills thing going on in Columbia was incredible.
We had guys when I was growing up young, like Paul Skurdy. I mean, he played on the U.S. national team, and most people don't know that. Fritz Gardena played on the U.S. national team, played at Baltimore Memorial Stadium in a U.S. qualifying game. 95% of the people don't know that. And yet, as a 18-year-old, 17-year-old, I was there watching the game,
Pele played at Memorial Stadium.
Pele played. My father
took me to a game there, and I don't know if it was Pele or not. I was a little boy. I was 4 or 5 years old.
We went looking
for Pele. Was it 73, 74?
That's it. Yeah,
okay, so I'm five. I don't know if I've ever told you this. It may make me cry. My dad didn't know anything about soccer. My dad grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Boxing, right? Boxing.
Yeah.
Baseball, basketball, and then football. But my dad didn't do horses. My dad wasn't a gambler. My dad stood in line for food in 1929 when he was a boy. So my father didn't understand soccer. But my father took me at the Memorial Stadium to see the Bays, right, play.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember getting a program from the game that day. And I remember I remember where I sat. I sat in about section 36. What would have been about the 40-yard line right off of first base. I sat up underneath, and I remember walking in, and I had been to Colts games, right?
Right.
But I remember the pitch, it didn't look like a baseball stadium anymore,
right,
and it didn't
right.
look like a football stadium. And I remember being there, but I don't remember anything else about it,
yeah.
right?
Pele.
Like, but I know...
It was big.
I don't know if it was Pele or if they played a whole season.
Yeah, they played a whole season, but Pele came and played, and... my brother-in-law, Tommy, was on the Bays, so he played. He got in the game
against
Pele, and he tells the story that he got in the game against Pele, and he didn't know whether to hug him or kick him or what to do. Like, it's one-on-one with him, and Pele's the greatest player in the world. He's and the most recognized person. So those guys all played against him. We were all there, and I went looking for him. Me, Sonny Askew, Jesse Cox, and Billy Woodard, we went down to the Lord Baltimore, because we heard that's where he was staying. So we went down Lord Baltimore. It was the week I was getting ready to graduate. We looked all around. We couldn't find him. Security was there. They all went back on Saturday. They seen him because I had to go to graduation practice for Calvert Hall. They all seen him, got pictures with him. He was ironically on the 10th floor. That was his number. And all I got out of it was an autographed shirt and a bill.
Still have it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So then I meet him when I'm on the National Board of Directors. And this is hilarious because everybody's in front of me. There's like six people in front of me in line, and it's just the board members. And he's there. He's talking. And the first five people are going up and going, "Oh, I remember meeting you when you played in New York. Oh, I remember meeting you when you were in Seattle. And I met you or I was at the game." And he's just looking at him like, "Well, this guy's seen so many people in the
right.
world." And I'm literally, Nestor, thinking, what in the heck are these people thinking? This guy is the
one. I met Springsteen. I didn't know what to say
right,
to him.
Right.
What do you
and
say
I,
to him?
And I'm
what
literally
him,
going,
right?
like, these people are, what's wrong with them? I get up. I didn't know what to say. I said, "Oh, I remember meeting you in Baltimore." And he's looking at me like with that smile. And I said, "I'm looking for it." And I went right back to what they all did, said the same thing about how I went to
chase
him
down.
Chased him down and looked for him. But it was really, you know, one of the highlights of my life because Pelé was my idol. Growing up as one of the most famous athletes, and obviously I had sports idols in other sports, Johnny Unitas, Brooks Robinson, all those guys, but clearly Pelé from a soccer standpoint. You know, and then we had West Ham came over in Hollandtown, and they came to play. West Ham played for Baltimore, and three of the best players on the team, Jeff Hurst, Bobby Moore, and Martin Peters, they're like three on the National World Cup team that just won the 66. This is like 70, 69.
Right after England won.
They come to Baltimore to play on the team. And one of the guys on the Bays brought them down to our school lot where we all played. So these are three World Cup guys coming off a World Cup. And they're coming to our school lot where we're all playing. We're all young and kicking and playing. Now they've been drinking over at the local bar. And they want to play us. So we go out. We're playing them. Now, this is like Cal Ripken, Brooks Robinson.
Right. You're playing with professionals.
Three of the best all-time.
Yeah, right.
Like, these are world-famous national team. England's only championship team ever. So
they're heroes.
Back home, they're heroes.
Yeah.
Here they're walking over. So that we play them, and we're playing them, and one of our guys kicked them and hit them.
Oh, in the Spadoobies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, "That's it. We're going.
End of game."
And that's... So we actually had experience of playing over on our lot in Hollandtown against three World Cup players. And not many people know that story.
Ah, that's a great story,
but
man.
But it's great because we're literally young kids.
Imagine if I start drinking with this guy.
Oh,
how stories are going to be.
I got stories.
We're at McFalls. So we're not at the Iron Horse. We're down on the water. We're in Essex, Middle River, Middle Essex. I don't know where we are. We're down at the Rocky Point, really. We're at the former Baltimore Yacht Club Road. Come on down, have a beer, have some of this delicious Bang Bang shrimp. Got great oysters going on here. It's our 25th anniversary on August 3rd of WNST. I'm going to do 25 oysters in 25 days in September, because it has an R. And I'm going to go around and have oyster stew, oyster rock. Just going to promote oysters, because without oysters, we don't have crabs.
Yeah.
The oysters create the oxygenation in the bay that lets us have crabs and crab cakes. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the fun Window Nation hat. I'm going to wear this in the second segment, I think. It's a little high up with my headset on.
He looks
Pete
good
Carinci,
with that.
Emeritus head coach. That's according to the real head coach, Anthony Adams, who he had a cost a couple weeks ago. I'm giving away these scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. You know, this you're old. You'll remember this. This is the old scratch-off. They've redone it. The old wishbone on there, up to 10,000. We had a bunch of winners at Fagley's. We had some winners last week at Captain Larry's as well. We got some folks filing in here. We're just here kind of in a tender period of time. It's the first nice day in about a week.
Yeah.
We got boats everywhere. We are on the water. It's a fantastic location. Used to call it Sioux Island down here, so maybe it is Essex. I don't know. Essex Middle River by Chesapeake High School. I'm Nestor East. Petey's going to stick around. We're going to talk Oriole baseball, Legends of Highland Town. What did I leave out? What have I left out? Anything else?
Crab cake tour.
Crab cake tour. We're going to have a crab cake. Pete Carinci is our guest. We're in Essex, or is it Middle River? We're back for more on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.